What do you want? Do you want buying power and be able to finance things and be able to buy home? Like, you have to kind of keep this shit top of mind. You have to play the game.
Real business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
What's up, everybody? It's us again. Welcome back to another episode of Real Business Owners Podcast. This is episode 125. Just confirmed that before we went live, so I know I'm not wrong today. So, as always, myself, Trevor Cowley, and Kilo G. Guys,
Whiskey, Tango, Kilo.
Foxtrot. Inbound for bomb-ass podcast. Short final. We've got these headsets on this one, so it makes me feel like I'm in the cockpit, and it makes Kel, he said it makes him feel like he's playing Xbox. So yeah. Kel's going to game on that ass, and I'm going to fly over that ass today. So we have friends, believe it or not.
Wow.
We have friends.
Yeah.
Not many.
Yeah.
But we have some.
We don't need many.
You know, yeah. Yeah.
They reach out.
They're good ones, though. Yeah. They're good ones. So quality over quantity here.
Right, exactly.
We got to get serious.
I know.
We got to get serious today. Okay. So let's get serious. I'm my serious face. I'm putting that shit on right now. Okay. But we have friends that have reached out to us that are somewhat new to entrepreneurship, and they've started to have better years. They're starting to see some success. And individuals that own an accounting firm that have friends that are starting to see a success, they obviously text or reach out and say, hey, what's up with this or what's up with that?
Because with success comes taxes.
Taxes. Okay. So here we are in the fourth quarter. And so we kind of want to touch on a topic of actual accounting and business and taxes to help you guys understand something here a little bit better. And maybe some of the individuals that are listening to this that are 5, 10, you know, 20 years in business, you'll already kind of know what we're talking about. We'll try to have some fun with it, so still listen along. That doesn't mean, you know, dip out. And if you do dip out, drop a review first. But this is going to be probably more so for the individuals that are maybe 1 to 5 years that are on the path to success, that might start making good money. Maybe you only make 30 a year right now, or 50 a year, or 60 a year out of your business. But when your business is actually starting to chug along and you're making decent money, and the idea is to keep reserves in the account, right? Your business bank account. Yeah. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't take risks. I know that we've had an episode that said, you know, screw your safety net or this, that, the other. But in business, you do need a little bit of a reserve. I think some people go a little too heavy on the personal side of things in some cases, and then they get scared of, you know, getting rid of their money, as we've talked about. And, you know, you guys know me and Keller all about investments. That's what
risks,
we've done.
Risks, sacrifice, all of it.
All of it.
Right.
All of it. But we've had to go through some tough times tax-wise to get kind of where we're at. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is there's this thing called your basis. Mm-hmm. Okay. We helped a good friend up in Salt Lake save it was like 180 or no, it was 180 or $90,000 swing. We did save him 110 grand that year in taxes, but his previous accountant had him owing like 70 or 80. So that's why it was the swing. So yes, it was 110, but there was a swing from the previous accountant.
That's right. I remember
and,
that now.
And the issue was our friend in Salt Lake, he invested a lot of money of his personal money into the business to get it going.
Right.
Let's say, for instance, he invested $200,000. It's probably more than that. But let's say it was $200,000. That's what's now known as his basis, right?
That's money he's already paid taxes on. His savings,
It's his savings. He's earned that money. He's paid tax on that money. And now he's choosing to start a business with that money. Mm-hmm. So let's say he opens up an LLC or an S Corp or whatever and funds it with $200,000. His basis now as an entrepreneur of that business is now 200 grand, meaning he could take 200 grand back out of his business tax-free.
Right.
So that's his basis, right? Yeah.
There should be no liability on that basis.
So the issue was, is when he took money back out of the business, his previous accountant put it as dividends or draws and not necessarily factoring.
Classified it as new income.
New income, right? And so that was the big issue. And we saw that that was just, he was taking his basis back out of the business, right? And so that was why there was a big swing. And we have an individual that reached out to Kel, good friend, saying, hey, like the business did really well. We've, you know, whatever, got a couple bucks in the bank account, all that good stuff. But now I'm going to owe a lot of money in taxes.
Right.
Okay. So let's break it down like this. Let's say, for instance, you had an okay year as a business owner and you took $100,000 out of the business and you started the business at the beginning of the year with maybe, you know, $0. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the year, let's say you got $100,000 in that business bank account and you earned $100,000. So the business profited, let's say $200,000, but you only paid yourself $100,000 out of that business. Since you are the business owner and you have access to that other $100,000 that's sitting in the business bank account, you actually have to pay taxes on that money that's sitting in the business as well, even though you're not touching it.
Right. Because of the pass-through entity that it's most likely set up in.
Correct.
LLC, S corporation.
Correct.
Sole proprietorship, partnership, they're all pass-through entities.
And this is the issue that most people have with business is they don't want to pay taxes on money that they're not touching.
Right.
So a lot of them rape the business of all of its profits so that at least they touch the money that they have to pay in taxes.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So his income would look like he made $200,000 that year when in reality he only paid himself $100,000 that year because he has to capture that other $100,000 that's sitting in the business bank account and pay taxes on that. Now, let's say this individual is at a 30% tax bracket or 25%, let's say 25% tax bracket.
Right.
In other words, he's now got to pay, he or she, it doesn't matter, just the business owner, but I'm talking about the individual that that we know, he would have to pay $25,000 in taxes on that $100,000 that's sitting in the business bank account, which sucks.
Right.
And we've done this year after year. I mean, there were years that we kept a couple $100,000 in the bank account, and then we would have to pay as partners. Right. I wouldn't have to pay on the full $200,000 because Kel's one of the partners.
Right.
Right. We would split that up. Let's say four partners own 25% each. We would each get a K-1 showing that we have to pay taxes on $50,000 because out of that $200,000, I own 25% of it. So I have to pay taxes on the $50,000 that's sitting in that bank account. And we did this so many years in a row to where we ended up growing to, you know, seven-figure business bank account for a reserve so that we could buy a commercial building if we want. So we can buy an airplane at one point when we want.
Absolutely.
You know, so we're willing to take it on the chin over and over and over and over.
And that is now our new basis.
And because we paid tax on that money, we now have seven figures sitting in the bank account that we could take out tax-free.
Right.
Because over the years,
it's still our money.
It's still our money. But over the years, we paid tax on that through what's called a K-1 that you get at the end of the year. So a lot of young entrepreneurs get shell-shocked by this idea, well, I only paid myself $50,000.
Right.
Or I only paid myself $100,000. Why do I have to show that I made $200,000 when I didn't make that?
Yeah.
Because that money in the business bank account's yours. The good news about it is as that account grows and you paid tax on it over the years, again, you get to your basis can continue to increase.
Right.
So let's say you pay tax on that $100,000 that's now sitting in that business bank account. You paid the $25,000. Your basis is now $100,000 is what Kel just said.
Right.
Meaning you could take out up to $100,000 tax-free out of that bank account. Let's say you do the same thing the next year and the next year and the next year, and you do it 5 years in a row. Now you've got $500,000 sitting in your business bank account that you've already paid taxes on over the course of that 5 year period.
Exactly. And really it's for the long-term grade of your company. You know, it's really not money you can just take out unless you're wanting to shut your business down and completely rid it of all of its expenses and your people, which is something that you're probably not going to do. And so for us, here's the thing, man, you got to be strategic with your money. Nobody's going to care about your money more than you. You know, you probably have business partners, or if you don't, you have to understand some of these things because you have to have that cushion in there for the people in your company for the ongoing storms that will come.
Yeah.
You have to have that ready. You know, there's so many times I can think of thinking back of like, whoop, here's a new winter that mm-hmm. if we didn't have our cushion, which was our basis, sitting in there to ride out that storm. Now, again, when you tap into that, now it's deductible too, right? So yeah. when you tap into that basis for expenses in your business, it is deductible. So now it's helping you in those other years pay less in taxes to weather those storms and to get through those hard times. But you still kind of got to pay your dues to get that cushion in your yeah. bank account, to have that operating account to keep you in business when tough times come.
Yes.
And it is going to happen. And so it's important to understand the rules of what we're talking about right now today, because if you don't understand it, most likely you're going to say, your accountant's going to tell you, because accountants don't know business. Their accountant's going to tell you like, well, just pass it all through to you and just start over for the next year.
Yeah.
Each one of your partners need to take a draw. If he owns 30%, he gets 30,000. If he owns 30%, he gets 30,000. Now you're bleeding your account. Well, what happens on February 2nd if you have a hard month? Now you're all, some of your partners went and spent that money. Now you're doing a capital call and some of you don't have it. Now shit gets real messy.
Yeah.
Right? So for us, it was a part of our strategy to have money in the bank account at all times. I remember the day Jeremy came to me, very beginning, early stage, like, why do you think so many businesses go out of business, especially in this like industry?
They run out of fuel.
They live beyond their means.
They run out of fuel, and the fuel is money
yeah.
in business. That's just what it is. A car runs out of fuel.
Right.
It stops.
It's really hard. It's really yeah. hard sometimes when you're the one partner, because Jeremy's been in that case, that situation. I've been in that situation. We've all been in there. We're like, man, we got whatever, a few $100,000 sitting in the bank account, and there's always one of us that's like, why can't we just take a $100,000 draw?
Yeah.
I was like, dude, that's like only going to keep us business yeah. For 3 to 6 months if we hit a hard time.
Yeah.
Right? So we all have to be on the same page about this plan, but you're probably not going to get the best advice from your accountant on it, because he's looking at it from a numbers perspective, like, we'll just pass it all through to you and then start over for the year.
Yeah. What's the big deal that if you take that 100 out of the account, you pay $25,000 in taxes, yeah. you still have $75,000.
Right.
But yeah, now the business isn't stable.
Right.
Because you took from it. I want to touch on something just real quick that Kel kind of went over, and it might have breezed over a couple of your guys' heads here. So let's say that same scenario that I used as an example. Your business profited $200,000, you took 100, right. and you're having to pay tax on 100, right? Let's say the very following year, let's say you did the same thing.
Yeah.
Let's say the business made $200,000 that year, but you paid yourself $250,000. Remember, there was $100,000 sitting in that business bank account. So you could actually business only profit 200, but you could actually take 250.
Yeah.
And you're only paying tax on the 200.
Right.
Because that additional 50 that you took out of the 100 that's been sitting in there, you paid tax on that last year.
Right.
So your K-1 is what it's called that you get from the business. And the first year, it was a plus $100,000 K-1.
Right.
On year two, you get a negative $50,000 K-1. So yes, it shows you make 250, but you get a minus $50,000 K-1 when you do your taxes. It drops down to 200,000.
Yeah.
So your K-1 is the money that's left in the business or taken out of the business, either adds to or subtracts from your income.
Exactly.
Okay. So again, you could get to the point where you have a ton of money in the bank and you feel comfortable and you yeah. start, you know, maybe taking a little bit more and your business account dips a little bit. You're actually not paying taxes on that full amount that year because you paid on it the previous year.
Right. As long as your accountant tracks it right.
Yeah. As long as he's tracking your basis. Yeah. I mean, that's a nice cap.
It actually happens more than you think.
Yeah. No, I guarantee
you. You switch accountants and they're like,
they don't know how much you put into yeah. it. They don't know what your basis
deposit,
is.
See this deposit, it's income.
Yeah, huh. Exactly. And so I just want to clarify that, because it's very difficult to do this. It mm-hmm. takes a high level of discipline to pay tax on money that you don't even touch.
Yeah.
I remember after like the first year or two in business, when I partnered with Kel, Jeremy, and our partners, I got a K-1.
Yeah. You're like, what is this?
You know, or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what do you mean? I figured if we didn't touch it, and I thought we only paid tax on the money that we pulled out of the business.
Yeah.
Like that's the business's money. Why do I have to pay tax on it? Like we're not touching it, you know? So it was a weird concept for me, but very weird for my wife.
Right.
Because she was like, what the fuck is the benefit of being an entrepreneur or a business owner? It seems like you make the exact same amount of money as you did as a salesperson, but yet we pay way more in tax. I'm like, well, it's the K-1. You know, like, I'm having to pay money, taxes on money sitting in a business bank account. She's like, well, why even be a business owner then? Why would you make the same amount of money and have to pay more in taxes when you could be a salesperson and make 120, 130 grand a year and pay taxes, less taxes? And I said, it takes time.
Yeah.
I mean, she don't ask no questions no more.
Yeah.
You know, life is good now. But again, it was just a new spouse to the game, and I was new to the game.
Yeah.
Right. And so I was shell shocked. And we have a friend right now that's a little shell shocked that the business showed X amount of profits and he's having to get a K-1 and pay his percentage of ownership on that profits without even touching that money yet.
Yeah.
And this is really what screws with a lot of people. And this is the one thing that you guys should be doing maybe a little bit better. And I want to give you guys a little bit of a tip on something that we've done to kind of ease it on us as we grew the bank account.
Right.
We paid ourselves.
Just for tax.
Go cover that.
Well, basically.
Because you, I think it was you or Jeremy or you guys.
Yeah.
The one that introduced that to me, right?
So, yeah. Well,
so kind of break it down how
early,
it works.
Well, in the early days, it was kind of like all of us knew we needed at least six figures in the bank account to cover our nut for a few months when we hit hard times. And we'd all been through hard times. I mean, Trev came in as a partner at one time when it was like, shit imploded, right?
It had to rebuild. Less than nothing. We were in the negative.
And we wouldn't have been able to do that if we didn't have some businesses with money in it. And then Trev was bringing in some money, right? And so we'd already been through these hard times. But, you know, what we've done at the end, at the year end is we've always looked at our numbers and we thought, okay, well, now we have $120,000 or $30,000 in there. We want to leave at least $100,000 in there, right? But so let's take this $20,000 or $30,000. Let's distribute that to help us all with our tax bill. But you still got to take that as income, right? Like, because it's really, it's now a distribution. But that distribution we took specifically for to help ease the burden of the actual tax bill at the end of the year or at tax time from the year-end financials so that we could just kind of carry through that without having to dip into our personal savings to pay what was still in the business bank account. So essentially, it was just a draw, a little bit beefier draw to cover what we were leaving in the account as our basis, well, for it to become our basis, right, and pay tax on what was there. So it was really just a strategy for us to be like, you know, all get on the same page. Like, hey, we know we need this here. We know we're all liable for it. So let's take a distribution above and beyond that 100 grand just to ease the burden on us personally. But that 10 grand that we each took, we still had to take in that following year as income, right?
Yeah.
But it was still to cover the bill at that time.
Yeah. So let's actually break it down now in numbers. Okay. Yeah. I talked about, you know, one year there was like 200 and something thousand dollars that, you know, that we made and we kept in the business. And we each got like a $50,000 or $60,000 K-1.
Right.
As the owners. And so what we did is we looked at our tax bracket. Everybody was like, oh, I'm, you know, roughly whatever, 25%.
Yeah.
Let's say. What's 25% of $200,000? It's 50 grand, right? So what we would do is we would figure out what our K-1 is. Okay, the K-1 from this company is $50,000 each. So it's 200 grand, right? Total. So what we did is we basically just distributed $50,000 between us, right? So we each took a check for $12,500 to cover that portion of taxes. So yes, we had to pay tax on $50,000 that we didn't touch. But right after we figured out what our tax bracket was, we cut a check for that percentage from the money that was in the bank account. So we almost had the money in the bank account cover its own taxes by paying us the percentage that we owed on that taxes. So after we did that, the account, let's say, would have 150 in it instead of 200 in it.
Right.
Right. But we still have money in the bank and the business almost just paid its own taxes. We just had to take it as a distribution or a draw for $12,500 that we pay tax on next year. But I'd rather pay tax on $12,500 next year than have to take on that full brunt of paying taxes on $50,000 this year.
Right.
Right. So we kind of have the business take care of its own K-1s by taking a draw for the percentage amount of what our tax bracket was.
Exactly.
And so it eases the burden for us, and it allows us to grow that count just a little bit easier in order to kind of cover ourselves so that we're...
It's a slow game of sacrifice,
man. It is a slow game.
And you're going to do it again and again and again at every level you want to go. Like Trevor said, now it's like seven figures in the bank account, right? If we ever want to have... you know, multiple seven figures in there, we have to take on this responsibility. But you get more clever as things go on as well, too. Like,
we're pretty much
now we're in a
there,
position
though.
Where we can dump money into a solo 401k, and we can do all these personal investments to defer money so it doesn't burden us as much, right?
Yeah.
Even though there is money sitting there that we're going to pay tax on to raise our basis, to obviously give us the ability to expand and grow and you know, level this thing up for everybody that's involved internally and the partners.
Yeah.
But... I don't know. What else do we cover on that?
Fucking basis, bro. Get back to the basis.
There is a strategy involved. You know?
No, without a doubt. And I want people to understand that, like Kel kind of touched on, it took us a long time.
Yeah.
Like, it took us a long time. Like, it's just as of, like, the last two years or so.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about being partners for a decade.
Right.
So we played this whole game to grow the account to a seven-figure number. So that, again, we can take bigger risks than most businesses.
Right.
We can attend events when we want. We can invest into different softwares, our own programmer in-house, whatever we want. Buying a commercial building at one point, all of this stuff. Because we had a long-term goal, vision of growing something that's big and that's special, right?
Yeah.
But you need to understand, it's a chip-away game.
It is.
It's a chip-away game. If, again, let's say your goal was to keep $100,000 a year in your business. Hell, even 50 grand a year in your business. Let's just say 50. You know, we're starting to throw out numbers that might not connect with people, right? So let's say you want to keep 50 grand a year in your business to grow a reserve. In the time that we've now been partners, 10 years, you would have $500,000 sitting in a business bank account, and you're only paying taxes on that 50 that you're keeping in, which is whatever, $10,000 to $12,000 a year, right?
Right.
Which covers that. So at one point, eventually, if you shut your business down, you could take $500,000 draw and not pay any tax on it because you paid tax on it over the course of a 10-year period, right? And so I don't want people to be overwhelmed by this or that or whatever. You have to be somewhat strategic about how you're doing it. But we've got to the point where the reason why the last few years have been really good to us is because we've grown the account so much.
Right.
To where now we can actually take 100% of the dividends and draws.
Without dipping into the basis.
Without dipping into the basis. The basis still is a seven-figure basis, right? So that means if Kel owns 26% of that account, he has $260,000 of that $1 million that's his tax-free at one point,
right?
It's investing into the future almost and stabilizing your company at the exact same time.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to do this in 1 year or 2 years and get overwhelmed. But you probably should start being a little strategic about figuring out a way to grow a reserve over the course of 5 years or 10 years so that you can start getting to the point to take the risk that we now can take, right? The business is now safe. The business is good. We have lots of cash in the bank. We can now take everything off the top, and we don't have any K-1s coming out of the business anymore because we're taking 100% of the dividends or draws. So our businesses now show pretty much zero or negative $10,000 that year or positive $20,000 or $30,000 because it ends up coming over to us, which washes it back down to zero, right? And so this is a fucking long-ass game played, but we played the game and we're winning now because we fucking played it over the course of a fucking decade.
We were willing to take time and do it right.
So
get on the same page about it. Because that's a hard part when you got partners too. Like, you know, someone might look at that like, well, why can't we just do this? Or why can't we do that? Or, you know, one partner might go talk to another accountant that says, well, my accountant says, let's just set up a C corporation. Well, because C corporation is not a pass-through entity. So we can just leave money in the company and the company can pay the taxes on what's left over every year.
Yeah.
And then it has its own basis in there.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. That's actually very true. But yet it's not a pass-through entity, so you can only payroll yourself out of that company to get paid out of it. So hey, so now you got a tricky situation going on.
So
if you made $300,000 left over and you only paid the corporate tax rate of the 21% on it, and then now you've got that money still sitting, whatever's left over in there, right? You got that money sitting in the corporation. Well, then you payroll yourself the following year, some of that money or you have to take additional out of it, well, guess what? Now you're paying personal taxes on something you already paid corporate taxes on. Now you're being double taxed. Right? And so you're going to get...
You sound fucking smart right now.
Well, you're going to get all...
Steph, he sounds smart, huh?
Thanks, guys.
Like, when
thanks,
he starts
guys.
Talking about that shit, like...
Yeah, well, that's the difference.
I break shit down in examples, like, and make it super simple, yeah. But Kel can talk the high-level shit. Kel talks the high-level shit.
That's a genius in itself, bro, like, you know, to simplify things, and you do really well at that. But a lot of people, you got to understand, are going to give you bad advice out there. Yeah. Not C-corporations are super great for if it's the right strategy for you and your team.
Yeah.
You got to get good planning with the people that have the same goals in mind as you or and your partners, right? So find a really good CPA that understands what your goals are, future, someone that you can really stick with that's got your back and knows what the mission is so that they can build a plan around it and do what Trev and I did. Or maybe a C corporation is a good plan, right? But you guys are gonna pay more in personal taxes every year, and you guys all know that. But it makes it less conflictual as far as what's gonna be in the company account, what the company's gonna pay taxes on, right? Like, you've got to understand some of those things and not stay ignorant to your money, because too many people, especially in this phase in business, 1 year to 10 years. Right? Like, people are like, especially if you got partners and stuff, people are just out there winging it, man. And ignorance is the number one thing that's going to cost you money when it comes to your money.
And money's the lifeblood, the gas, the fuel for your business.
Yeah. And if you continue to stay ignorant, you're just fucking lazy.
Yeah.
Like, go sit down, pay. That's what's the saying that you said last year is like, your accounting is not a cost. It's an investment if it's done right, right? Mm-hmm. Like, spend the money to get the right advice and the right plan in place so that you guys can grow this thing. And you can do it at any level. If you're a brand new startup with a couple dudes and you guys got a badass thing that you're building, you believe in 100%, you're already thinking 10 years out like we have, like, sit down with somebody, pay a dude. If he's $200 an hour, be like, dude, we just need 2 hours of time. Scrape up $400 and get 2 hours of time to understand based around your guys' situation, get it customized to you guys and what you want to do so that you have a little bit of a plan going into the next 2, 3, 4 years on, hey, how are we going to cover these taxes that we have to leave in the account in order to get the money that we need to really take this thing to the level it wants to go to? Because most people are like us. They can't just go raise $1 million to build a business, yeah. Right? We had to do it with our own nickels and pennies and dimes, and we had to do it, and we had to play that long-term game in order to do so. But you can get a lot of bad information out there. You might go set up a C corporation because you're like, that's what we need to do. We need not pass through, and then you guys end up getting double taxed on a lot of money later, and you're going to wish you didn't do it.
I also want to cover the fact that, there's individuals out there that we know and that we've met that are in the tax game as well, that charge $25,000,
right.
$50,000 for a tax plan.
Single one-year tax plan.
One-year tax plan, okay? So some of you guys, that might blow your minds, but you've got to check this out. This is the difference between cost versus an investment, right? If somebody spent $50,000 to get a tax plan that would normally pay in, let's say, $200,000 in taxes, let's say they paid that 50 grand and that individual showed them how to save 100.
Right.
They just saved $50,000 by spending 50,000.
Right.
Right. So instead of them paying 200 grand that year in taxes, they only paid 100 grand that year in taxes. The cool thing, the $50,000 that they paid for the advice to save 50.
Right.
Was a write-off also.
And it's also,
so you're not paying tax on that.
Provide those same savings year after year, most likely. Because even though people say the tax code's constantly changing, like, some things really are pretty set in stone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to be year after year savings most of the time.
We wanted to really just cover, you know, what your basis is, what that means, and how big of a pain in the ass it is, and as you're kind of building and growing and scaling a company.
Right.
Right. You have to have money in the business in order to scale the business. Right. It doesn't just all of a sudden magically just spit out way more money that you just take and reinvest. There's got to be that nest egg there. There's got to be a little bit of reserve in the company. But you also have to be taking risks at the same time. This is a fine line that you're walking. Right. And we've walked it, and I'm glad that we did, because here we are 10 years later.
Dude, and it's a lot easier to take risks when we've got money in the business bank account. Like, how many times have we been like, hey,
let's throw 100 at this. We got to throw 100 at this.
And we're not dipping into we don't have to go talk to our wives about, hey, I'm going to pull this money out of our family fund.
Yeah.
We can just do it from the business fund. Yeah. We don't got to go down that road.
A business to business investment. We just take 200 grand out of the company account and invest into another company. And now our business owns a percentage of that company.
Exactly.
And in reality, we could get a K-1 that shows less than because the business has less money in it, right?
Yeah.
Just depending on obviously how, you know, who you're working with and how they label that money going out, right?
Right.
But if you get money coming back in later from that investment, then you're going to have to capture that. You wouldn't have a basis on it if you wrote it off, right? So it ends up being sixes long term. But I just want to touch on kind of one more little tax thing that we probably already touched on, but a long time ago, because it is the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Individuals, you only have a 75-day window to switch your entity from an LLC to an S corp, and that's coming up. So I just want to drop that. You've got January 1st through March 15th every single year that you can elect to have your LLC taxed as an S corp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have a 75-day window that's coming up here within the next couple months, right? And so individuals that should be thinking about that are individuals that are making roughly $60,000 plus a year out of their business that's currently an LLC.
Right.
Okay. So if you're, let's say you're making 70 or 80 grand a year from your LLC, you're a perfect candidate to switch your LLC over to be taxed as an S corp, and you don't have to change your, you know, any of your business bank accounts. Your EIN stays the exact same.
Yes.
Again,
that's the nice thing about it.
A lot of people think that if they switch from an LLC to an S corp, that they're literally switching entire entities. Like, I'm going to have to go get new merchant accounts. I'm going to have to get a new bank account with a new EI. That's not how it works.
Right.
You send in one piece of paper to the IRS to say, we want you to recognize my LLC, or we want this LLC to be taxed as an S corp. That's all it is.
Right.
And then the IRS will recognize your LLC as an S corporation, and you just have to follow the rules of the S corporation in order to make sure that it stays valid.
Again, though, get a little consulting first.
Yeah.
If you're not an expert in this, get a little consulting in this because your LLC is either taxed as a sole proprietorship, a partnership, or it's taxed as an S corporation.
Yeah.
Right? So if you have partners, so a partnership is where you're going to get that K-1. It's everything's going to pass through to you and your two partners.
Yeah.
So if you get advice and you're like, hey, let's set up this LLC as an S corporation, Trevor, and now you guys have an S corporation together, that can come back and bite you in the ass later down the road too, even if it saves you money right now, because, you know, it kind of messes up your strategy if you want to own your own S corporation for a bunch of investments and stuff you want to go do separate from your other partner.
Yeah.
Right? Because now an S corporation can't own another S corporation unless it owns 100%. So there's all these rules to the game. And so I'm not trying to confuse everybody, but spend a little time getting good advice from a good accounting firm.
I mean, look,
before you go make that election switch, but do it in the time that Trev's saying, like before you miss out on it. If you're single member, absolutely switch it to an S corp, but you might want to go set up your own S corporation and your partner set up your own S corporation and keep your LLC as a partnership, have the money floated there. And now you got an S corporation that can go own all different types of LLCs that you can do investments in, side projects. Maybe you and your wife want to start a jewelry company that Trevor's not a part of. Like whatever it is, you guys can go do all these other things and just single member LLCs and partnerships that all funnel to the S corporation. That's where you can pay yourself the fair and reasonable salary, take the rest as draws, and save on that self-employment
tax. What makes you think I don't want to be involved in the jewelry company?
Dude, I was going to ask you about it, bro. I'm raising money for it. It's called paparazzi.
Yeah, it's multi-level, dude. It's not like all the other ones. This one's different. But you got to put people underneath you. Yeah. Now, I ain't knocking on that. We know people doing very, very well in multi-level. Yeah. I mean, it takes a certain personality. I won't knock, again, we've said this before, we won't knock any hustle. Yeah. We'll just knock motherfuckers that ain't hustling.
Dude, we've done
we fucked with that, trying to like, oh, we could do this and put people in. And
look, I actually said jewelry because remember Jeremy started a jewelry thing with his new wife.
Oh, yeah,
right?
So I said that, and I was like,
dude, Jeremy went and started. He did that with his own LLC, but they have their core S corporation that everything flows to, right? And so you don't have this messy. Because when you get multiple S corporations, now you get a lot of corporate minutes on each one. There's all these different little regulations, 1120S tax returns on each one. It's a little bit more compliant stuff to deal with that you don't really have to deal with if you just have a little strategic to your entity formations. And then it's also going to help you with understanding your basis and all these things as well.
See, Kel sounded smart again. You're confusing people, bro. You tell people on some episodes that we're just a couple dumb dudes. If we can do it, you can do it. But then you sound smart. You're going to confuse.
This is just the area I geeked out in for so long.
You said 1120 forms and shit. I don't know what that is. So if you guys don't know what that is, me neither.
I'm a partner in it.
Dude, I'm not pushing tax returns, dude. Yeah. We're pushing podcasts, social media, networking, shaking hands, kissing babies, doing PR. You know, we're the name and the face of this motherfucker. We're not in the back room doing the taxes.
I've just been selling it for almost 20 years, so I learned this stuff as I go. And honestly, I mean, back when I was selling it, I wanted to be the best at it, right? And so I would go hang out with this dude named Brooks at the company I worked for, an accounting firm before we had one.
All of his information.
And, dude, he was a badass. He would teach me all this stuff, right? And then also I've learned from Hard Knocks, like Jim, our attorney. Dude, he's the one that actually taught me the whole value of this whole S-Corp in the center and all the formations around it, you know, to not bite you in the ass later. So, dude, you just learn as you go.
So, there you go.
If I had learned it sooner, we might have not imploded so many times. But then maybe Trevor wouldn't have been my partner, so maybe it was all a good blessing.
Yeah. But you just said something that was valuable that reiterates kind of something that you just said. Mm-hmm. Well, Jim came in, our attorney, and explained this and that. And Kel was saying, look, like, don't just like go start trying to figure this shit out yourself. Consult with somebody. He just barely said our attorney came in and explained all this shit. Yeah. So even we still consult with individuals about certain shit as we get to new levels and different things.
We're learning the whole trust thing right now, right? We're starting to dig into that.
Yeah.
You can actually not pay a lot of taxes by doing these certain levels of trust and writing the bylaws properly, right? That's a whole nother level. But you can't expect to be in that level until you get
figure out
you go
the
through
other
the
levels.
First levels, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. Because like you can't do that. Even if you're making bomb ass money, you can't go do this whole trust thing to avoid a bunch of taxes if you aren't established in your life. Because once you do that and you go into irrevocable trust, like you can't go get a bank loan because you don't show enough income.
Yeah.
Say you want to go buy a $1 million home, you can't.
That's what bothers me about, like,
it's all in trust.
I know, but some of the shit in the tax game, that's what bothers me. Everybody that's a business owner doesn't want to pay taxes, but then at the end of the day, they get upset if they can't buy that dream house that they want.
Can I say something really good?
What do you want? Do you want buying power and be able to finance things and be able to buy a home? Like, you have to kind of keep this
shit
top
of
mind. You got to keep it top. If you know for a fact that you're in the market to buy a house, guess what? You might have to overpay in taxes so that you show a higher number in terms of income so that you can qualify for that dream house or whatever the freak.
All of it, right?
I was going to say the other F word. Yeah. I've already said it a couple times. I'm trying to be nice today. I'm in a decent mood, so I'll say freak. But that shit does piss me off a little bit because people want, I made $200,000, but I only show that I made 60 after write-offs.
I made $200,000, I only paid $4,000 in taxes.
Congrats. You can fucking finance a popsicle.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, because you cut
shoes on a firm.
Yeah.
Those Nike shoes on a firm. Yeah. What is it called? A firm? Finance your shoes on a firm.
Like, is that what it's called?
$250 Nikes.
Yeah. You can barely finance a pair of Jordans, right? Like, everything could be financed these days, but
I'm not clowning you if you've done that, okay?
I have.
I financed stupid shit in my day, too. But here's the thing I want to say.
But you just said stupid shit, so it is clowning.
Yeah,
it's fucking dumb. Yeah.
I used to be a clown too, okay?
Yeah,
guys?
Don't finance fucking furniture. Don't finance shoes. Like, finance a fucking car and a house, and that's about it, you know?
Here's what I'll say before we wrap up. This is a game you're playing, and you have to play the game. And even though you don't want to do all this financial stuff and learn this stuff, there's people that can show you and take it off your plate.
Yeah.
But in order for you to get to that level of like, I got trust, I don't pay the government, you got to get to a point where you don't need the government too. Right? You want financing, you want to finance badass homes, you want business funding. You've got to get your life to a point where you don't need nobody, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, people freak out about Jeff Bezos, all you're paying. They don't need nothing. They've played the game well enough to where they're in a position. They can have all these trusts that all the big politicians and all the big wealthy corporations have because they don't need nothing. They can finance it all themselves. So you got to get to a point where you don't need the bank, you don't need the government, so that you can play that game at the top level. That is the top level. When you're trust and everything, you don't own nothing. You have liability for nothing, but you also don't need nothing because it's all formed in a way to where you're protected and you have everything you need and it's all owned by not you, your trust, right?
But you control your trust.
But you have to be in a, you control the trust, but you don't control any anything inside the trust, right? And so you don't own anything inside the trust, but you control it all, right?
Yeah.
And so in order to get to that game, get to the top, which I'm still learning that shit too, man. Like, I'm not at that level yet, but I sure as hell will be, because I want to be, right?
Well,
like,
when you start
playing that game to get to that level, but I know I've got to be in a position. I don't need the bank. I don't need the government. I am the bank. I am my own government.
Yep.
And that's what you got to get to if you want to be at that top level.
So let's also, let me hammer
it starts one. With learning the damn basis.
Yeah, basis. let's get back to the basis. I want to cover one more thing. Mm-hmm. One more thing. Since we're kind of on this weird, tax thing, whatever, right? There's fucking spenders and there's savers.
Yep.
That's it. Look, I pay a lot in taxes. Why do I pay a lot in like multiple six figures in taxes? Right. Because I don't spend money.
Right.
I have one payment, which is $1,280 a month to a house. Everything else I own, right? And so I don't get a lot of deductions because I don't have a lot of payments. The only way you get a deduction is that means you paid for something, right?
Right.
And so we get individuals like, hey, I want to save money, on taxes, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, you kind of have to be, there are some alternative routes, right? Yeah. Where you can put money here, where you still have a little bit of control, can reduce your taxation or whatever, right? So there are some, but overall, you have to identify who you are.
Right.
And then be okay with who you are. Like, hey, I like nice shit. Yeah. If that's who you are, right, you're probably a spender. Mm-hmm. If you just like nice shit. And the cool thing about being in business is you get to roll some of these deductions through your business, depending on business use of a sports car or whatever, if it's marketing and that's all you do. And you could prove that this helps you, generate leads and grow your business, right?
It's a tool.
It's a tool, right, to attract clients or whatever it may be. But these are two totally different lifestyles, okay? The lifestyle of the spender usually has a ton of cool shit. They have a lot of fun, take a ton of vacations a year, have beautiful cars, beautiful house. They have the boats. They have the trailers. They have the just
sooner
all,
than you.
All the shit. Yeah. They just have all the cool shit that you want, right? But they don't have a ton of money in the bank. Because they have a ton of money going out every single month to cover these expenses that they have. So at the end of the year, they show a lot of expenses. Even if they have a lot of income, they show a lot of expenses and it pulls their income way down. And so let's say they make $600,000 a year, but they're a massive spender.
Yeah.
Maybe at the end of the year, it only shows that they make $100,000 or $150,000 a year on their taxes. So that's the only amount that they're paying tax on. Not the full 600 because they just spent $400,000 on all this shit or whatever, right? And so you've got the option of not having a whole lot of money in your personal account, but living in an amazing lifestyle.
Yeah,
that's the spender. Then you have the savers that don't really have a lot of cool shit, but they have a ton of money in the bank.
Yeah,
but they also pay a ton of money in taxes.
Right.
Right. And so you kind of have to identify who you are to where you're in the right mindset every single year in taxes. Like if you just flat out know you're a saver and you just don't spend a lot of money, you're going to have to prepare yourself to kind of take that tax number, whatever that number is at the end of the year, on the chin and be okay with it.
You can become an investor a lot quicker if you're a saver.
Yes.
Because entrepreneurs that are the spenders, their solution to everything is I'll just make more money.
Yeah.
And that's deadly.
Yeah.
When you're just like, I'll just make more money.
Yeah.
What you're doing is you're choosing to stay more ignorant in the financial side of things. And you're not understanding what's catching up to you in the rearview mirror that you don't understand. Because when that house isn't deductible anymore and all those boats and those toys aren't deductible anymore, but you still own them all and they all have a cost to them. But then you're gotten older and you can't really make the same amount of money that you used to make, or, you don't have all the expenses that you used to have. Now you're paying for all of it and you're paying taxes, or either way, it just catches up. It comes back to bite you in the ass, right? Or you have to continue working when you're super old
to cover your lifestyle.
Working because you want to, right? Because you got all this shit to pay for. Like, dude, you got a badass estate. Guess what? Your water bill still shows up every month, even if it's paid off.
Yeah.
Your property taxes still show up every month, even though it pays off.
Unless you dig a well. Go dig a well.
So, but if you've spent it all while you're young, I mean, it is, it catches up. So I'm glad you brought that up.
I wanted to bring that up because people need to understand, like, Some people get shell, the savers get shell shocked. Even I still get shell shocked every year. Yeah. I'm just like, whoa, you know, that's 50 grand more than what I was planning on paying in or whatever, because I'm just kind of running numbers in my head sometimes, and that's not good.
Right.
And that's why we now get with Jared or whoever and say, yo, could we get some predictions on this or that or what the estimate was, right? And so you start getting some estimates on what you need to save to cover your ass on the tax bill. And that's where tax planning and all that stuff comes in. At the end of it, what this all boils down to is, one, you can't stay ignorant, as Kel was talking about through the conversation.
It's my thing right now. Yeah, big on that one right now.
Big on the I word. there's a lot of fucking ignorant people in the world today.
Impulsive and ignorant.
Let's call a spade a spade. It is what it is, you know? You might not like it, but it's a fact, right? Yeah. So people want to focus on the fun shit, which is money, and stay ignorant to all the other tools.
Me too.
Fuck. That's the cool shit. Like, money's fun. Yeah. You know, talking about taxes is not as fun, you know, unless you're Kel. The motherfucker knows what he's talking about. And
I was making good money selling that shit, dude. So
you better know.
I better learn some of it.
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, I mean, in regards to the episode, everything boils down to the fact that you need to kind of smarten up. You need to understand a little bit of the game. Like, if Kel understands chess and I don't understand chess, he's just going to fucking smoke me.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we're playing against a system that understands all the rules, that understands every in and out, and we stay ignorant to all the ins and outs and the rules of this game, and we're playing against the system, we're going to lose 100% of the time. Yep. Unless you figure out the game and you figure out the system so that you can game it to your advantage instead of the system gaming you to their advantage, right?
Right.
And that's really what it comes down to. So that means consult with somebody, an accountant, a CPA, whoever. It doesn't have to be easier accounting. I know some of you motherfuckers are like, oh, you just guys are talking, you just promoting. I don't give a shit. We've done some tax tip episodes way back when, and we had an individual that we do a little business with now come up to Kel and say, hey, dude, thanks for that episode. You saved me, what was it, like $16,000 that year in taxes just based upon that tip? Because he went to his CPA or accountant, whoever, and he talked to them about the tip that we gave him on the podcast. Yeah. And the accountant or CPA was like, yeah, you could do that.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and do that.
Yeah, we should give you guys the game.
And he was like, hey, Tyler.
Yeah.
I'm sure you already knew that, right?
Yeah, yeah. We do business with him in other faucets, you know?
That's what I was saying. Yeah. He stopped by just, was it yesterday or the day before, to drop a check by?
Hell yeah.
So I deposited.
But we don't
that.
Do his accounting.
No, we don't do his accounting.
And we don't try to get it.
We don't try.
But, we don't need to get it.
But the idea is to serve, right? Yeah. And try to give you guys information that's valuable to you, whether we get immediate value back by you being a customer or not.
Well, every episode, we're just giving you guys the game that we're learning as we go, or that we have already learned, and we know it's important and it's crucial. You want to hire us? Great. We have people here that can consult with you if you feel like we're the right fit. If you're not, or you got a guy that you absolutely adore and he is proactive with you, like, take some of this information to him. Like, help me understand this. We don't care. We just want you to win.
We're a girl, because homegirl that charges, you know, 25 grand.
Yeah, that's boss.
She's a boss, dude. Yeah, she's handling business.
We were geeking out on that whole trust shit, dude.
Yeah.
She's learning smart that stuff. Hell. And I'm like, set that shit up for me.
Yeah.
I'm almost there. I'm getting there.
Seven fuggles.
Getting there where I don't need a bank or the government.
Exactly. Exactly. So there's a reason why politicians and all these rich people have charities. Yeah. Oh, they're just so good-hearted. You funneling money, motherfucker. We're starting to get to those levels where we see the game and we're like, we see you. Back in the day, it sounded like, oh, wow, they're just nice-ass people.
Yeah.
Liars. Fuck them all.
So true.
Yeah, it is. So, anyways, we hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. We'll go ahead and wrap up with we're just here to help.
I think it turned out way more valuable than I even thought it was. I mean, I knew it was information we needed to give people because of the level of the game that they're at.
But we touched on a few different things.
But, dude, I mean,
spenders and savers, you know, entity structures, things starting
pass-through,
to come up.
Pass through, not pass through. You need K-1. To know that shit, man. Yeah, get someone on your team that does.
It might not be the most exciting and motivating thing in the entire world, but it's information that's needed to be heard.
Yeah.
So whether you like it or not, you got it.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
And you're welcome. drop a fucking review, please. Come on. Be nice to us. We're trying to be
they keep
nice
shadow
to
banning us and shit, man. So spreading reviews helps us out.
Yeah. We can't.
I feel like we're shadow banned, bro. It's it's weird what happens.
Yeah.
Some days,
you can't talk about the VAX.
Trev can't help it, though. Yeah. He's like,
I fucking hate this whole thing.
I hate it, dude.
Should we stop this and then our next podcast be about how much we fucking hate what the hell's going on?
Oh, shit.
We can go on all day. You ready to record all day? All right. I'm fucking here. So, guys, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. Take care. We appreciate y'all as usual. Kick ass.